everyone, and welcome back to Hate Spinnerbait, the podcast where we hate spinnerbait, but we love the color Angel Baby.
Aww.
I'm Michael Ann.
Yes. Hi, everyone. It's me with her, Bethany.
Oh, welcome back. We just had a little Easter weekend, if you celebrate. Yeah. I hope you enjoyed. What'd you do for Easter?
Absolutely nothing. And it was glorious. I contemplated going home to see the familia because that would be nice. I do enjoy time with family. But there's just a lot on the docket. I'm going away this upcoming weekend for a wedding. And there's just a lot of travel. Lots of things going on. And my husband wasn't going to be off. And I didn't really want to go by myself and like leave him here. So stayed home, got some half price candy today, and yeah, I feel good about it. I feel good about it.
Love that for you.
You were living it up, living your best Virginia Tech life. Was it a good time?
Mm-hmm. Went to Virginia. My brother rented this cabin in like literally the middle of nowhere. I got there at like 9, so I was like driving these back roads in the dark, and I'm like, where am I right now? Like, if it wasn't my brother, I'd be like, this person wants to kill me. But it was really nice. We had a nice little weekend, my brother and his fiance and my niece. We watched a lot of basketball. And
she texted me about it, y'all.
I did. I was like, just so you know, I'm watching basketball.
Real basketball girly.
But I have discovered that basketball is the sport I know the least about. Like, I couldn't even pretend to know what was going on because I don't know.
I mean, like, I know the gist of it, the basics of it is pretty simple. You're like, got that in the hoop. They've scored some points. All right. Foul the guy, gets to go get a free throw. Are there obviously a lot more details than that? Yeah. But, like, the scoring aspect of it is pretty straightforward, I feel like.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, is it? I don't know. I mean, then you do have 3 points of, you know, that. So that kind of gets a little confusing. But that's behind the three-point line. And then you shoot farther, you get more points. So, yeah, that kind of whole thing. But yes, ooh, I love it when you just randomly, you get, sometimes Michaela just gets like fun little things that pop up on her screen. And it's very fun to me.
I've discovered...
Oh, is it because like your computer is like smart? That is so fun.
Yeah, you can do it on your iPhone.
Oh, really? Oh man, that's cool. I'm gonna have to now attempt that. That's gonna be my new thing that I attempt. Also, everyone, hi. We are gonna get into Destin in just a second, but I'm a child and I'm pleased by simple things. Also, happy April, everyone. It is Mother's releasing her album in just 18 days.
Yes. We're all about to be in our tortured era.
I'm so
baby.
Ready to be in my tortured era. Like, I am living for it. Because I can't stop, won't stop making friendship bracelets. The other day, I was like, oh, I kind of want to make like a few more for the trip. Like, obviously, I have a decent amount of Taylor Swift friendship bracelets now, but I was like, just a few like special ones for Sweden. And like, there's going to be a whole new album out. So, like, I should make some. And then I was thinking about how I'm going to be wearing a Taylor Swift theme outfit on the day that Mother releases her new album at Disney. And I was like, should I just like make some? If like someone stops and compliments my outfit, I can like give them a friendship bracelet. And then I was like, why am I so extra? Like, that's just making more work for myself. And yet I was like, that could be fun.
I love that. I need to make some more. I don't have like any Taylor Swift friendship bracelets that I want to trade. Yeah. So I need to make some trading ones.
Exactly.
I got to just make some new ones. I got to refresh my collection.
Can I say, I think that there's something really beautiful to the fact that, like, I'm going to have some from the time that I went in Atlanta, the time that we saw it at the movie theater, and, like, all of those bracelets that, like, I got in those situations are coming to me to another country. Like, that, I think that's – but, yeah, I, like, will not trade those, obviously, because, like, no, those are mine, bitches. But I'll trade some other ones with the sweet British – I almost said British people, Jesus. The sweet – there could be there. I don't know. The sweet Swedish people. I'm learning my Swedish vocab, everyone. It's not going great so far, but I'm picking up a few words.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you. Or shall I say talk, as the Swedish say. That's thank you in Swedish for – all of you out there. All right, one Swedish listener. Just kidding. I don't think we have any Swedish listeners. But if you're out there, let us know.
I don't think so. German.
Hey. I'll see what my same voice.
At one point, we had German listeners. Yeah. I don't know if they stuck around.
You beautiful German people. Yeah. All right. What happens to goodbye? Let's get into it. It's juicy.
Hi. I don't know what it's going to sound like when we come back from this transition because it's been technical difficulties is all I'll say. If anybody wants to sponsor and edit and produce our audio, that would be awesome.
I would.
Just let us know.
Whatever.
Dr. Pepper?
Dr. Pepper? Dr. Pepper? We haven't called them to sponsor us in a while. I think we need to start putting those vibes out again.
I think so. Okay, so last chapter we read was
chapter 11.
McLean. She went to Riley's house with the gang and watched the game, and she had this nice little like family experience, and she found herself being very happy. She's starting to feel like Lakeview is her home, I think.
Yeah.
Bam.
That pretty much sums it up. Yeah, got some like found family vibes. Lakeview. She's connecting. She's making friends. She's putting down roots. Very unlike her. Chapter 12. Let's go. So yeah, we start here with this is where we get the Angel Baby or Calm Waters, which is two different shades of blue. Fun fact: Angel Baby was one of my nicknames growing up, so I'm partial to that one.
Okay, first of all, I was going to say this is one of the best opening lines of a chapter that we've seen in a while. And second of all, what do you mean your nickname was Angel Baby?
That is one of my nicknames that my mom called me all the time.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, it's a mom nickname. I was like, your friends were just out here calling you Angel Baby? That's very
Angel
like...
Baby.
That's a very like 2003 screen name of you.
Yes. I'm pretty sure I probably had it as some kind of name. I did have quite a few shirts. Again, in the early aughts, you could get things with like baby doll, angel, whatever. And I definitely had some shirts with angel baby. My nameplate necklace, hey y'all, has an angel on it because that was like my nickname. So it's like the Y. It's got like a little angel sitting over it. It's very cute. And very also, cute. Not to make things hella depressing, but because I have many an angel things, I can distinctly remember wearing one of my reversible shirts. It was like a darker pink on one color. I don't remember what the darker pink side said, and a lighter pink on the other color. And that one said like Angel Baby or something on it, because again, it was the early aughts. And that is what I was wearing on 9/11, and I'll never forget that. So thank you, everyone, to really take us on a really dark, depressing turn.
Jesus.
But yes, I do remember exactly what I was wearing on that day. So now sometimes when I think of like Angel Baby stuff, I'm just like, yeah, remember when I was wearing that Angel Baby shirt on 9/11. So there you go, everyone.
Oh my god.
What happened to Just Blue? Jason asks. Opal is feeling optimistic, y'all, unlike me who just took it down a dark path. I'm an overall very optimistic person, but that knowledge is in my head forever and I had to share it with someone. But
amazing.
She's feeling optimistic and she wants to paint the upstairs, which of course, as we all know, is currently the home of the model. But Opal is thinking like, hey, Chuckles didn't fire anyone. Things are on the up and up for Luna Blue. Maybe we can go ahead and reopen the upstairs to be part of the dining room, which is what it's supposed to be, which is what leads to me to maybe one of my favorite exchanges in this entire chapter, which is our girl Tracy saying, I do not like the idea of having to go up and downstairs to my tables. And Jason adding, there's a question of keeping food warm during the trip. Thank you. We worked in a two-story venue. It was hell on earth. And yes, food does get cold from you literally walking to the kitchen to upstairs because the shelf lives of French fries, y'all, is nothing. Like fries die instantly, basically. And so to get fresh fries up to a table, no, it ain't happening. Not when you're upstairs.
Not going to happen.
And it was miserable. Hated every minute of it. I am 100% backing Tracy on this and Jason on no, you don't want an upstairs in your restaurant. Mm-mm. No siree bomb.
You need a dumb waiter.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. Opal's all like, where's your sense of adventure? And it's like, no, don't do it, Opal. Don't do it, Tom.
No, Opal. Typical restaurant manager. Mm-hmm. typical restaurant manager being like, what do you mean, guys? Running up and down the stairs 100 times a day is going to be totally fine. You're going to enjoy it.
You're not going to like literally lose so much weight that your mother's concerned about your eating habits. And you're like, no, mom, I swear to God, I'm eating. I just am working at a restaurant where I'm doing hard cardio every day and my body is not used to it. I lost like, I think in 1 week, like I saw my mom in like a week later. Cause again, when I was in Orlando, I was not seeing my mom often, but for some reason one time it was when I was fresh new. So like literally my body was not used to this cardio yet. Like inevitably like you plateau, right? Cause then your body's like, we're doing this all the time. But for the first couple of months, like I was losing weight like pretty like rapidly. Also probably because like I was working late nights and then I'd get home and I wouldn't eat like a proper meal. But the main reason I legitimately think was because of these stairs. But anywho, for some reason, I saw my mom like 2 weekends in a row, which was unusual at the time because obviously we lived a few hours away. And she made me weigh myself. And I shit you not, like I literally had lost, I think, like 8 pounds in a week. And I was not trying. It was just from I worked a couple doubles that week. And that is how out of shape I am, y'all. God. That working at this restaurant when I first started, I literally was losing crazy weight.
To be fair, it's technically 2 flights of stairs you have to go up. So, and down and up and down and up and down.
And our AC never worked. So you were basically doing it in the heat. And it was just, oh my God, miserable.
It was a nightmare. It was truly a nightmare. I thought of that too when I read that. I was like, ugh, no, you don't want to be doing that. You don't.
Not to your poor servers. Okay, here's where I get hung up for basically the rest of the chapter. And mind you, like, there's some important shit going on in this chapter, but this is what absolutely just, like, throws me off. She says it's March, and then they talk about spring break being in a couple of weeks, which makes it seem, she says, spring break as well as committed to 4 other weekends between April and June. So is spring break at the end of March? Wait, hold on. Now I had the 3rd week in March circled on my calendar and Asia Baby Calm Water is just blue. And we had something to talk about. So the 3rd week of March is spring break, correct? Okay, because this entire chapter I'm going back and forth because they're talking about a basketball game later on. And I'm like, are we in the conference championships? Has the NCAA tournament started? Is this March Madness? Because if this is the 3rd week of March, and I had to go back like 5 times because it was driving me crazy. I'm like, is this just a regular game or is this a March Madness game, but no one's saying it's March Madness, and this distracted me the entire chapter, y'all. I am not gonna lie.
Did not even cross my mind.
I clearly have March Madness on the brain, but I was like, okay, so the beginning of March, you were winding down your standard conference play, and then you would have the conference tournament. So, again, these teams, I'm gonna assume, are in the fake ACC, because it's the U and the University of North Carolina is for real in the ACC. So, like, they're having their ACC tournament. But anyways, yeah, so it's like DeFreeze and the U are playing, and we know that they're rivals, and I'm like, this is a big deal. Is it like the last regular game of the season? Is it a March Madness game? Because that would be a really big deal if two rivals are playing a March Madness, blah, blah, blah. And like my mind is just consumed by this, and this is not what Sarah wanted my mind to be consumed by in this chapter, let me tell you, but it was.
Yeah, she was probably betting on most kids reading this not being like, so I wonder if we're in the fucking Sweet 16 or the whatever the hell. I can't even pretend to know what I'm talking about.
Sweet 16 is part of it, so you're not inaccurate. So there you go.
I know that because of our DCOM bracket.
Boom. Yes. Disney Channel original movies coming through, baby.
Baby.
But yes, it is March. They've been in Lakeview for almost 2 months, and she's like, certain things are routine, right? It started like normal, the way we do when we come into a town, but like other things are not, because obviously she's just being herself, or at least the new version of herself, the new version of McLean. And so she's saying, you know, she's not sure like what the deal is. Her and her mom actually seem to be doing okay now that they have this like spring break plan. She's called off the lawyers. All that is groovy. But, like, what's going on with Dan and Lindsay Baker, basically, is what she's curious about. She's like, are they serious? Because she states, like, you know, lunch dates are one thing, but she knows they're getting close to moving when, like, he basically starts having them over. She sees Diet Coke cans in the, you know, fridge, or she notices a hair elastic in the bathroom that's not, doesn't belong to her, all that kind of stuff. So she's like, I'm just a little bit curious what's going on. And I'm over here being like, hopefully nothing, because him and Opal are destined to be together. McLean, hello.
Hello. Also, can I just say that that's kind of shitty?
Yeah.
Like, of dad to be like, let's take our relationship to the next level. You can start staying over at my house, but within a couple weeks, I'm going to be gone. So
clearly, this man like, has what? Some commitment issues, which obviously clearly. He's been burned, but still, Gus.
But you're still, treat women with a little bit of respect.
Just because some woman absolutely destroyed your heart doesn't mean you have to be a dick. You know what I mean? Not cool.
Right. Don't invite them to your house.
Yeah, just saying. So she's all like, I don't know what's going on with that. But in all honesty, I've been kind of distracted because when they were on the way home from the Bensons and the back of the love van, love did sprout. Her and Dave kind of had a moment. She said they ended up like in the very back seat, just the two of them. And they had like a really like a just nice little like intimate moment. And this is what she says about it. It was just a tiny moment, not a kiss, not even real contact. But for all the things it wasn't, it meant so much. I'd been running for years. There was nothing scarier to me than to just be still with someone. And yet, there on the dark road, going home, I was. And can I just say that, like, I truly think something like that is way more intimate than, like, a kiss or something, you know? And I was like, yeah, like, I just love that line. Like, there's nothing scarier than to just be still with someone. And it's like, yeah, 100%. Like, that's, like, a very vulnerable thing to do, like, for sure. So, especially for McLean, who, like, is so used to running. And I was just like, damn, that's good. That's a good one, Sarah. That's a good line.
Yeah. Yep.
That is a very, very good line. And just like, oh, sweet, they're falling in love. And she's, like, letting herself be seen by someone. And that's, like, I don't know. That's beautiful. So, you know, they kind of like drop Deb off. They end up being like the last stop on the drive home. And, you know, she kind of says goodnight to him. They both go off and she says like he goes off to like his house. Like his mom is clearly visible. She's sitting up waiting for him. Like there's lights on. There's all this stuff going on. And, you know, so she says goodbye to him and she goes inside and she decides to turn a couple of lights on. She puts on Bob Dylan. And she says, it's amazing what a little noise and brightness could do to a house and a life, how much the smallest bit of each could change everything. After all these years of just passing through, I was beginning to finally feel at home. And it's like, she's doing it. She's putting down roots. Her routine is changing. She's
putting down roots.
Guys, I'm proud of our girl. It's this is big. So this is big. Nice.
Ugh. Yes, this is big. It's also sad because, you know, she's like a daddy's girl. She's like all about being with dad. But it is sad that she goes home to a completely dark house every night and cooks her own food. Yeah. And like, you know.
It's very lonely.
It's very lonely. It's very lonely. Yeah.
Farmer clean. Man.
But then we're back. We're back at the at the restaurant. She goes up to the attic room where Deb and Dave are already hard at work. But this time, Ellis, Riley, and Heather were all there.
Yes.
And they're completely silent. And I just, like, love this interaction. She's like, what's going on over there? And Dave says, Deb has shocked them into silence, which is really hard to do, believe me. She says, how'd she do it? And she said, her POW packet. And so then he has to, like, clarify, project overview and welcome, required reading before you can even think about attempting a
start. I love that she has that ready to go. Like, she thought that maybe more people would join them at some point.
Yes, exactly. Yes, yeah, she just had that ready. She's like, there's going to be somebody who joins us here.
People are obviously going to be
interested in it. And, yeah, she's like, it's not that strict, like, but you just can't come into an existing working system and not educate yourself on its processes. That would be stupid. And you know what? She's 100%
right. Yeah, she's right. She's right, and she should say it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree completely. And then Dave's like, of course it would. God, McLean.
Dave plays into Deb's Debness so well.
He really does. I love it. They're, like, so cute. Yeah, Deb's like, oh, I didn't have to say anything. The model spoke for itself. And Dave's like, well, I told them that if they help us, then I will be able to pick up more shifts at Freibake and save more money for the road trip.
Yeah. Yeah, that may have had something to do with it. But I really like Deb's working theory, you know?
I do, too. So then he's like, yeah, we're going to bust a lot of this out during spring break. And she's like, oh, you're not going anywhere. And then she tells him that she's going to the beach with her mom. And then Heather starts complaining. She's like, "What? This is like school. I don't want to do this. Like, you're making us study. This is garbage, basically." And Deb is triggered. She is like, it's not like school. Why would you say that? I'm having to completely rejigger the stove as it is." I love her so much. And then Heather says, "What? Are you even speaking language?" And she says, "She's speaking Deb. You'll be fluent in no time." And I'm like, yes.
Deb, truly an icon. We love you. We salute truly an you. Icon. We have maybe found our real life version of you.
Yes.
And yeah.
Yes. Oh my God. The girl we're going to Sweden with texted us and said that she packs weeks in advance for international trips. And me and Bethany were both saying that we were going to pack the night before.
And I'm probably going to procrastinate. And then I'm going to, like, Friday morning be stressed AF, being like, I got to finish packing. My flight leaves in 3 hours. Da, 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 da. And our friend will packed weeks before. Weeks before she's packed. Like, weeks. Who, like, how... Why? Everything has been spreadsheets.
How do you have enough clothes? Yeah,
like, I have so many questions. Also, I, the other day, was going to message her and see if I needed to have, like walking, like, Nike kind of shoes in case, like, we were doing any kind of outdoor adventuring. Because let me tell y'all, if you go on a trip with her, you just have to assume that at some point you're going to be hiking on a trail or on a bike or who knows what. And, also I have to...
Good to know.
Yeah, so just to warn you. And for some reason, in the last time I went on a trip with her, she told me, like, hey, bring some sneakers. I was like, yeah, absolutely. And I forgot. So I was like, I'm wearing those damn sneakers on the plane so I don't forget them this time because I will not be caught off guard again. Also, I just wanted to be known that the other day when I was talking to her, I did not tell you this yet, Michaelanne. She was like, hey, like, you know, a bike seemed to be like a big thing of like how to get around in Sweden. Like, is it okay with you? And I was like, yeah, that's fine. And she was like, oh, I just wanted to make sure because I didn't know if Michaelanne like knew how to ride one. And I was like, I don't think this is along for the ride. I'm pretty sure she's aware of how to ride a bike. Yeah. And she was like, well, I just like don't want to assume. Like, you shouldn't assume that everyone knows how to ride a bike. And I was like, no, that's a very fair point. But yeah, I think she's good with it.
Very valid. I haven't ridden a bike in probably 15 years, but, you know, so we'll see how it goes. But
the only thing that makes me nervous is I don't think like anyone wears helmets, and I think that you should. Like, I'm really a fan of my brain personally, so I don't know. We'll see, I guess, because like you know, like city bikes, like you know, like when you see people driving around the city, like they're like never wearing helmets, and I was like, that gives me anxiety. Like, I need a helmet, so. Hopefully there's helmets. That's my only stress about it. I'm like, yeah, I'll ride a bike. Like, that's same. Fine. But I was like, I need protective gear. Thank you.
Yes, 100%.
But yes, what happened to goodbye? Here we are. Deb being just an absolute icon, as per usual. So he's all like, oh, I can pick up more shifts and, you know, you'll be fluent in Deb in no time. Oh, she tells them that they can take it home tonight, like they don't have to do it right now, they can like get started on it. And this is where McLean has been really excited. She went to the library to find out about that like abandoned like house that's in their neighborhood, which we found out now apparently was a hotel. And so she's just about to tell Dave her realization, which she says, you know, she was actually like really excited to tell him, which is like, oh my god, cute.
So cute.
And just as she's about to share the news of her discovery, who interrupts but Lindsay frickin' Baker. And she's very impressed, which is fair because Deb's absolutely killing it. And McLean gives her the credit and she's like, oh, like we've got a really good leader and it's made such a big difference. And Lindsay Baker's all like, oh, it shows. And then when Opal comes upstairs, she's like very like passive aggressive toward her, basically. And it's like, I didn't think you'd be able to get this done. It's like, don't you dare doubt my girl, Opal, okay? And Opal is upset because Lindsay Baker is like definitely trying to lay on the moves here, okay? She's like grabbing Gus's hand. And McLean says that, you know, like PDA is like not her dad's thing. Like, this is not something. And he like sees like he's trying to get out of it. But she's got a grasp on that hand.
She's got a grip.
She
yeah.
is there. She's trying to stake her claim. And yeah, that's when Opal comes upstairs. And she is, I think, very much upset. And it's not just from Lindsay Baker being passive aggressive about the work on the model. It's definitely, it seems to be from the fact that she's getting a little close with Gus here.
Yeah. Yeah. She like, when she comes upstairs, she's like mid-sentence, but she stops suddenly when she sees that Lindsay Baker and Gus are holding hands. Yeah. And she like totally just loses that from there. Like, she's like, wait, what is going on? Yeah, Lindsay Baker sucks.
Basically. It gets real awkward, and everyone in the room basically is like, what just happened here? We all felt that, right? Yes. There was some tension. There was some tension in the room.
Yes. Yeah, she, like, at one point when she goes, like, I think Lindsay leaves, and she goes, McLean, what's going on here? Like, and you know she's not talking about the model.
Exactly.
You know she's like, is your dad dating Lindsay Baker? What the fuck? And then she, like, she's just not feeling good. But she's like, thank you so much. Like, she's like, you guys did a good job. And then she says, guess I need to pay more attention all around.
Opal.
She thought her and Gus were going to be a thing. Mm. I did too. And I'm holding out hope. This is a Sarah Dessen novel at the end of the day.
We're in the bar where we're losing hope. We're in the down and out. But you know that always behind that is where things like pick up and get good again.
Exactly. Yeah, very awkward. And then they go to they walk home, her and Dave. Again, his mom and dad are in the kitchen moving around, and her house is dark. And they talk about dinner plans. Dave's having tofu. McLean's gonna make breakfast because that's all she has. Which is like, oh my God, Dad. She's like, I didn't have time to go to the grocery store. You're 17.
Yeah, that shouldn't be on you.
What? Not at all. Yeah, then Dave's like, yeah, we usually read at the dinner table. Which, like, oh my God, I fucking wish they would have let me read at the dinner table.
Right? When he's talking about, like, they're together, but, like, not together. And I was like, oh, parallel play. Yeah, like, that's me and my husband, like, sit and read our phones while we eat dinner together. It's the modern equivalent. Seriously. But, you know, like, we still love each other. It's fine. It's just, like, I don't, like, need to, you know, we were like, how was your day? Good. How was your day? Oh, a little stressful. All right. I'm going to read my stuff on my phone.
And, like, you've already had that conversation before dinner anyway. So it's
100%.
Like, 100%. Yeah, we usually watch TV while we eat dinner.
We watch TV or we're on our phones or sometimes both. And then sometimes, okay, so as you all know, we're deep in a challenge rewatch here, which 3 seasons have been cut off and we're trying to find out why. And I was on a Reddit page the other day, y'all, because I was like, where are these 3 seasons? So from season 32 to like season 36 or something. I don't even know. Anyways, so 3 seasons just disappeared in the chronological order. And I've seen them talk about them. And I know that they happened to the War of the World trilogies. And I was like, what the heck? I was looking forward to those. And they're gone. And so someone is saying they think it has to do with legal issues, one of the people on it. Which, like, if that's the case because he did a bad thing and, like, him being – and them profiting from him is bad, then, like, I'm glad it's taken care of. But I'm not sure if that's the case. But this is what
– what did he do?
I think something to do with, like – from what I've read, the person – so this person was, like, literally only on these seasons and he's been banned from the challenge. Something to do with he, like, distributed photos of an ex-girlfriend or something, basically. Like, very, very shitty, not good stuff. So if that is the reason that these seasons, maybe they're, like, trying to edit around some of his stuff and then they'll put them back up. I'm not sure. But if that's the reason, understandable. But I was like, why are suddenly we like starting this season and we this is not right. Like we're missing something. So yeah, so there I was like doing a deep dive trying to figure this out. Like me and my husband are both like looking into it. But it's so funny. Like we'll be sitting there. We're both just like watching. We'll like make comments, whatever. But this is how into it I get sometimes that like I have something to say and it's so important that I don't want us to like talk over the next bit that I will pause the shitty reality TV show that we're watching and like do a breakdown for my husband. I'm like, okay, so this person is mad at this, but really it's from their fault. And I understand where they're coming from, like, and this alliance and da, da, da. But like, yeah, well, I'm like, and we can continue now. Like, what else was supposed to be? Do you need to pause? Yes, obviously.
I don't let Andrew hold the remote when we watch TV because he will pause it every 30 seconds. So I try to control his pausing, but I, you know, we do still pause quite a bit. Just, we pause quite a bit. But I like what he has to say, and sometimes I have some things to include, you know? I just don't like, talk
we
just as much.
We don't need it. We don't need it every 30 seconds is all. Yeah. I think it probably only, like, this is a good, because again, like, you can get, like, a quick comment out while the show is still going on and you're not missing anything, but if you're going on, like, a good tangent, I will.
Yeah.
Pause. And
you have to.
We will deep dive into our thoughts and feelings about it. But yeah, now I'm sad because we're like gonna be caught up way sooner than I thought because 3 seasons have been shipped for me. So.
Oh no! Grossed.
Yeah.
By that guy.
I know.
By the way.
Very Yuck. Disturbing. I will say the challenge does a very good job of like banning people like real quick if they do anything. Like obviously that's like super shady, but even things like all the things that have been done for people to be banned are shady, but. Like, there's quite a few people on the show that, like, are not invited back because, like, they have done not cool things. And, like, I respect them for, like, taking that shit seriously because I feel like some other things were not as good at that.
Yeah.
So we'll give you...
Like, the government in Hollywood.
Like, exactly. So, everyone, I guess, take note from MTV's The Challenge for really... really making sure when people are doing shitty things that they don't get invited back. Anyways.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
So,
McLean is going to be making breakfast for dinner, which also she talks about, like, the bread in the fridge was a bit old, but not moldy. Perfect for toasting. And it's like, yeah, this is sad.
Like, yeah.
Poor girl. I mean, she's making
toast and eggs for dinner.
She's making the best of it, but, like, still.
But still, yeah. And... So they separate. He's like, eat an egg for me. He's really jealous because, you know, his mom has all of those, like, crazy shit. So she goes inside. She makes her eggs. She's like, I'm going to sit down at the dining room table. I'm going to have, like, myself a little fancy meal.
Yeah, girl.
But who comes knocking on the door? Tofu loaf in hand. Dave and his father. They need to use her TV because DeVries is playing the U. And maybe March Madness.
We don't know. We don't know where this takes place in the month of March. I think we're getting into March, is all I'm saying. Then this is my other question. And we haven't officially gotten to spring break yet, but she's going to the beach house with her mom. Is it just her mom and the twins? Or is Peter going to be there? Because, again, did that mean that DeVries did not make March Madness? Because if they're still in the tournament, this is a real busy time for him. And he can't be running off to the beach, is all that I'm saying. Okay?
I assume he's not going.
She keeps just saying her mom, but I don't know if she's saying that because it's like she doesn't want to acknowledge him or if he's not going.
Yeah.
I'm uncertain of that, to be clear, but I'm under the impression that he is not going to be present, but I could be wrong.
Izuko, you wanted to be in here and now you're being a pain in the ass about wanting to leave the room? Oh my god. You're just gonna have to stay in here. Yes, so they start watching he's like, we need to watch the game. Our TV doesn't work. She looks over and his mom is just like content reading at the table while she eats her tofu loaf. Yep. And this is back in the day, like when vegans had like two options.
Yeah.
But we've come a long way,
sure
I will
have.
Say.
We sure have.
But they're both like, both of their like mouths are like watering over these eggs because they're like, you know, they don't get eggs because the mom has like all these issues and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, oh, I'll make you some. And he's like, no, they're like, no, it's okay. You're letting us use your TV. Don't worry about it. But after a few minutes of the game, she sees her mom sitting alone in the stands. And it just kind of like fucks her up a little bit. So she's like, you know what? I am going to go make eggs. She's like, it's easier to listen to the game than watch. So she scrambles them some eggs and they both are like, they're both so like, grateful. This is the best thing I've ever eaten in my life. They're so grateful. They're like, I'm so glad we don't have to eat the negs, the not eggs. Then she sees her mom. This is like such like a cool moment. Like,
right.
She like sees her mom on the TV picking up her phone and making a phone call, and her phone starts ringing because mom is calling her. So mom calls her and she's like, oh, I want to talk to you about something. And she's like, oh, I have people over. And she's like, okay, well, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah, I think it's very interesting that like her mom is at this game and she's like, she points out like, oh, the twins aren't with her this time. Like, it's just her by herself. And she clearly like, I mean, she's with all these people. She's literally a basketball game. And she's all of a sudden like, I'm going to call my daughter right now. So it's kind of showing, I think, that like both of them are still very lonely. Like, her mom clearly really wanted a family, which is why she kind of left, because like her dad was always busy at the restaurant, whatever. But again, like I said, now she's married a college basketball coach who is a very busy, like their schedules are a little packed as well. And so I think it's like the reason why her mom is such a like, I mean, she's very controlling and very like, but like she's lonely. Like, she's still lonely, even though she has this new family. Like, I think she misses those trips to North Redmond just as much as McLean does, you know? And so I think this is like an interesting moment of showing like the two of them are still lonely in their own rights.
Zuko's getting back at me for making him stay in the office by farting right next to me.
Zuko.
Zuko, Zuko. Yeah, that is really nice. And I wonder, like, why is she alone? She doesn't have any friends to bring with her. Right, like, is there no one that
could go with you? I mean, I guess if you're going to, like, all these basketball games all the time, it probably would be hard to find someone to go to each and every one. But still.
Yeah, still.
Still, they're good seats. And it's, like, again, this is a big rivalry game. You think someone would want to go.
Exactly. Yeah, I feel bad for both of them. So chapter 13.
Woo-hoo! We're doing it.
We're doing it. So she tried to wait up for her dad, but she ended up falling asleep. She wanted to talk to him about Lindsay Baker and like kind of where we're going. Like, she's starting to get panicky that they're leaving soon, and she really doesn't want to leave. Like, she's starting to build a life here, and she wants to build a life here. Mm-hmm. Like, as she says at the end of the chapter, real bread, real butter, all real. Like, she's being real. This is her real self. Yes. Like, she's getting settled, which is gorgeous. Sarah. So good. So she falls asleep. She gets up at 6 a.m., gets dressed, makes a pot of coffee, and Chuckles comes over. And he has this delicious Hawaiian coffee, and he keeps dropping a bunch of hints about McLean being in Hawaii, basically. Like, he's being very obvious. Yeah. Like, he's not being vague at all. Like, he's basically like, get ready, girl, your next visit, your next spot's Hawaii.
Subtlety does like, not exist in this conversation whatsoever.
No. Also, can you imagine if he took her to Hawaii? Her mom would be fucking
pissed. Would lose her mind. The lawyers would be on speed dial instantly. The lawyers She'd be would like, be actually, involved. I take it back. The lawyers are back in.
Which, honestly, I think in that situation, that is fair.
Yeah.
Because she's leaving the continent.
Yeah, like that.
And going.
Because, again, nowhere in the continental U.S. are you close to Hawaii. Like, even the West Coast, there's the ocean in between you. It's many hour flight. So, yeah, a little bit of a different situation than her. Like, it looks like so far she's been mostly in the southeast, which means like you could hop in the car, you could hop on a quick plane ride, but this different story.
Yeah, exactly. Like, she was always in visiting distance, but now that would be like just too hard.
It's basically going to another country because it basically should be, but we stole their land.
Yes,
America.
But we love colonizing here in America.
We love colonizing. Yeah. We love it so much. Hawaii is too good for us. They deserve better.
They do. They really do.
Really, really do. But a lovely place. 10 out of 10 would recommend. But they're too good for us.
way too good. So dad comes down and he's like, isn't it a little early for you to be here? And Chuckles is like, I just wanted to talk to you. But her dad shuffles him outside because she's like, he obviously doesn't want McClane to know about the Hawaii thing.
And he's over here like, learn aloha. It means hello and goodbye. Chuckles, shut up.
Yeah, he's like, remember that. That's going to be important for you soon. And it's like, okay, Chuckles.
He's so, like Mickey Mouse on Mickey Mouse's clubhouse where it's like, this is a tool. This is going to be important later. I've got a mouse-ca-tool for you. That is what Chuckles is doing.
Chuckles and his mouse-ca-tools. So while they're outside talking, like, McClane is on to something. Like, McClane is like, something's going on. So mom calls and mom is like, hey, like, don't forget to take your bathing suit because you, like, we have a heated pool and a hot tub, which, like, of course they do. And she's like, oh, you know what? I don't even think I have a bathing suit anymore. And her mom says, actually, there's this really cute boutique on the boardwalk in Colby that my friend Heidi owns. We'll stop in there if we get in before they close.
Yes, we know that place. You go to Clementine's, girl. Mm-hmm. Also, this, I was like, oh, interesting. Not to say that friends, you can't have friends that are in different age groups than you, but I picture Heidi being younger than McClane's mom, like her parents. So I was like, oh, her friend, like close friend. How do you know each other? Because I was like, oh, like they could have met in college or something. But I was like, I don't see them like being the same age. But I could be very wrong.
Because Heidi was 26 in that book.
Like she's young. And I don't think McClane's parents are obviously that young. You know?
Maybe they were in the same sorority.
Ooh, could be. Yeah, that could be like her little or her grand little big.
Or they just like met at networking events or however sororities work.
Exactly. That could be it. So yeah, she definitely knows Heidi. She's close enough with her that she calls her a friend. Love that we got a Heidi mention. We stan.
Same.
So very pleased with that. I was like, ah, there we go. Little Clementine's, little Heidi mention. So yeah, that did please me. But also open up questions for me.
Yes. So then dad comes back inside after Chuckles pulls away. Or I'm assuming he has a driver. And she goes, so dad walks in and she goes, I hope this is a good time to let you know I'm going to need a new bathing suit. And he thinks that she's saying that because she knows about Hawaii. And so he drops the bomb.
Yeah.
And is like, you know about Hawaii? Like, ugh, I didn't want him to tell you. And she's like, coffee, Kona, aloha, not to mention Luna Blue's apparent reprieve and his date with the councilwoman, it suddenly all made sense. Mm-hmm. Like, she's like, we're leaving. Like, and she is immediately, like, feeling like shit. Like, she's like, I don't want to leave, basically. She doesn't say this, but she's like, when? And he's like, 5 weeks, like, give or take a few days. And then she's like, immediately I thought of my mother. And dad's like, well, you could move back in with mom. Go home with your friends. And she's like,
big no.
That's not my home. Like, what are you talking about? She's like, I don't want to move in with mom. And she wants to say, I'm not that person anymore, but she like cuts herself off.
Right.
And also here we get kind of the clues that Luna Blue is actually not doing well and will probably have to close, which is so upsetting.
That's very devastating. I don't like it. I'm so sad.
We need him to stay, and we need him and Opal to team up.
Yes.
And make some magic.
Yes.
With Luna Blue.
Agreed. Yes, yes, yes.
So yeah, he's like, Luna Blue's probably not gonna make it. Dad obviously seems pretty like upset too. Like he seems tired and frustrated. Like he doesn't really, I don't even think he really wants to go to Hawaii, to be honest.
These are two people that are not excited about the potential of Hawaii, which, again, most people should be excited about Hawaii. But not when they found their people and their place, okay? They found a home, and they don't want to leave it.
This is their home. And so then he answers the phone, and he's like, wait, stay here. I'm not done talking to you. But she is, like, upset, so she bolts, goes over to the abandoned hotel. she's having like basically like a panic attack, like an anxiety attack, trying not to like flip out, lose it. And she says that I turned, taking a breath, and looked over, seeing my reflection in one of the remaining windows. My face was wild, lost, and for a second, I didn't recognize myself. Like the house was looking at me, and I was a stranger. No home, no control, and no idea where I was, only where I might be going.
Sad. She's like, finally, like, stressed me out, y'all.
Same. This chapter is very stressful. Yeah. But yeah, she's like, she like finally is comfortable in her own skin. She's finally like, you know, she's had identity crisis since the divorce, like, which is basically her formative years, and she's finally like getting into her skin, and then this happens, and then the next thing also happens.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, that's a very not good day for McLean, basically.
No.
Yeah, she's just, like, trying to get through this last day of school before spring break, because obviously all she wants to do is, like, break down because she's very upset. And she's kind of, like, avoiding people. Dave catches up to her kind of at the end of the day, and he's like, where have you been all day? Because usually, like, he would see her throughout the school day. And he's like, I thought you cut or something. And she's just like, oh, you know, I had tests, whatever, kind of making excuses as to why she's been busy. So he asks, you know, he knows that she's about to go away for spring break to the beach with her mom. And he's like, oh, are you stopping by the restaurant before? You, like, have to go straight there. And she gets a text from her dad that says, come by here before you leave, in all caps. Ooh, very serious. And so she's like, a request, if not a demand. And so she's like, actually, I'm heading there right now. So he's like, cool, ride with me. And that's kind of the last thing she wants to do, because, again, like, right now she's feeling very vulnerable and she doesn't want to be, like, left alone with Dave, because she, like, doesn't know what she might say or feel or, you know. So she's like, oh, okay, that's not really what I want to do, but all right. So she's like, I don't really see a way out of it. I just told him I'm going to the restaurant. He's going to the restaurant. So I guess we're going together. And then this next part, y'all, I couldn't even appreciate the cute disadvance because I was so stressed out about what was going on. This next part is kind of cute, and I feel for Dave. So he's like, you know, you really need to go out with me. And she, of course, is confused. She's like, I'm sorry. And he's like, you know, you, me, a restaurant or a movie together. And he's like, maybe it's a new concept for you. So I'll be happy to walk you through it, like, going on a date, which is, like, a deal. And she's like, you want to take me to a movie? And he's like, not really. What I really want is you to be my girlfriend. But I thought saying that might scare you off. And that is just like, oh, my God.
Butterflies.
We love. And so she's like, oh, my God, like, her heart, she says, she feels like it's getting out of her chest. And she's like, are you always so direct with this kind of thing? And he's like, no, but I've got a feeling you're in a hurry, leaving and all. So I figured I could cut you to the chase, which, like, little does he know, like, what a hurry she might be in. And so, of course, she's playing it off. She's like, I'm only going to be gone a week. And he's like, oh, it's true, but, you know, and he's like, but I've been wanting to do it for a while and didn't want to wait any longer. Oh, my God, Dave. Aww, so rude.
Dave, so sweet.
Sweet, sweet little baby Dave. And so she's like, really? Since when? And this is just, like, the cutest but also funniest thing. He's like, the day you hit me with that basketball. Like, he's been wanting to be her boyfriend since that day. And that is just like, oh, my God. And she's like, that was so attractive cute. To you. and he's like, not exactly, more like embarrassing and humiliating, but there was something about it as a moment. It was like a clean slate, no posturing, pretending. It was, you know, real, which, again, like, that's what that is. She's finally been her real self. And so, she, of course, she's like, real, okay, you know, this kind of hitting her. And he's like, it's impossible to fake anything if you've already seen the other person in a way they've never chose for you to. You can't go back from that. And that is what they call trauma bonding. And that is why so many people that go through traumatic experience end up really good friends or in love or whatever. Because, yeah, like, you've already seen a person at their worst. And I know, but, like, seriously, I do think there's something very sweet about that. Like, obviously, this isn't a super serious thing, the whole basketball thing. But he's right. Like, one of their first interactions, like, their first couple interactions were, like, sort of embarrassing for him. And she stayed, you know? So it's like, well, she already knows me. Like, she's already seen me pegged in the head with a basketball. Like, can't get any worse than that, you know? And that's just, like, something about that is really just, I don't know, it's sweet and endearing.
It is.
So yeah, I'm like rooting for my boy Dave, but I'm like, Dave, little do you know, this is so not the time to bring up this conversation because our girl is going through it right now. Okay, she's going through it. So he turns into Luna Blue parking lot, and she never even really gets to answer because just then, Ellis is like pulling up with them or whatever. And he's very stressed out that he's going to be late, which again, I think is so cute that Deb like has them all so like about that. And she's like, oh, we're only a couple of minutes. It shouldn't be so bad. And they're like, you think? Like, are you sure this is Deb we're talking about? And so, of course, she's really there to like talk to her dad. So she's like, oh, kind of sees his office. And she's like, oh, like, I'll be right there. And I like that Ellis is like, she was our sympathy vote. And then Dave's like, now we can blame her because she won't be there. Like, we'll say it's her fault that she made us late. And I just think that's fantastic. She's about to go to knock on her dad's office, which the door is closed and she can hear him talking inside. And Jason recommends that she not go in there right now. That he went in there and apparently he said he's going to be in there for a while. So it might not be the best time. So she was like, okay, maybe I will go upstairs after all, because it looks like my dad is a little preoccupied with something else at the moment. And so she walks upstairs and this is where she overhears the people that are already there having a conversation, Heather, Riley, and Deb. And we hear, you know, basically Heather saying something like, I'm sorry, but they aren't just similar. I mean, look at that one and then that one. It's the same girl. And Riley says different names. And so, of course, all of us know that McLean likes to kind of change her identity every time she moves town. So you're like, uh-oh, what have they stumbled upon? So she gets up there and she's like, what's going on? Poor Deb, absolutely startled. And is like, slams the laptop shut. Nothing, absolutely nothing to see here. And so she lets her know, I was updating the Yumi.com page for the model and linking our accounts to it. Heather finished for her. Imagine our surprise when we put in your email and 5 profiles popped up. Can I just say, yes, if you found this, it would be really weird, but Heather is like super accusing of her. Like she has like murdered a baby or something. And I was like, girl, it ain't that serious. Like, especially at that age, especially at this time of the internet, like it wasn't uncommon for your friends to have like a different profile, this, that, the other thing. Like, you know what I mean? So I was like, okay, calm down, girl. So anyway, so they're like very like accusatory of her. And so she's like, you know, even Riley's kind of like, Heather, calm down. So Heather stands her ground and she's like, what? It's weird. We all agreed on that 10 minutes ago. So, of course, McLean is like kind of stressing out and she's like, you know, she feels her mouth go dry. She sees the different, you know, profiles that she has. And so, of course, Deb, sweet and innocent Deb, is just like looking for answers and she's, you know, kind of willing to give her the benefit of the doubt. So she's like, what's this all about? And, you know, McLean says that they've all been so honest with her, so open. Dave and his past embarrassments, Riley and her dirtbags, Ellis in the love van, Deb and, well, everything. Even Heather had pointed out her house and talked about her dad, the technophobe Loeb fan. With this, they had perfectly good reason to doubt everything I had told them in return, even if I thought looking at Dave, it was true. So she's about to kind of explain herself when just, like, she can't. Like, she can't find a way to do this. And she just kind of like bolts down the stairs. She runs into Tracy again. Like she's on the verge of tears. She is not in a good place. Like I said, McLean is just having a real bad day from start to finish so far. So she kind of runs downstairs. And she happens to catch the last little bit of Opal's conversation with her dad. And it sounds like Opal's being clued into the fact that Luna Blue is not doing so great and they don't have good odds. And she's, you know, saying, you should have told me. Let me just go along like an idiot thinking things were okay. Again, poor Opal was picking out shades of blue paint for the upstairs. Like, she had such hope and probably feels like a fool, not only in the restaurant regards, but also in the love affair regards and the romance regards. So you should have told me, I think, is a little double-edged here. And so she's saying, like, you know, you knew something. You know how I felt about this place and these people. You knew and you said nothing. And, I'm going to go ahead and say Opal has every right to be upset. Like, that's really 100%. Shitty of him to do. So, of course, Opal's trying to kind of, like, smooth things over. And McLean walks up and she's like, so it's official then. We're leaving. And, of course, her dad is still kind of in denial. Because, again, I think he also kind of loves Lakeview, mostly because he also loves, you know, Opal. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so he's like, you know, we need to talk about it. There's a lot to consider. And of course, McClane, like, is ready to go because she is upset and this is her defense mechanism to run. So she's like, I want to go. I'll go whenever. I'll go now. And he's like, now? Like, what is wrong? And she basically is like, can't explain. Mom's waiting. Like, have to go. And he's like, no, just talk to me. And she says, it was what everyone wanted. My mom, my dad, my friends upstairs, not to mention all the people and all the places I'd left behind. But talk was cheap and useless. Action was what mattered. And me, I was moving. Now, again, always. McClane, aww, you've come so far. Don't revert back to this.
I know. I was like, don't backtrack. I know.
But yeah, Heather, like, calm down. It ain't that serious. Like, yes, it's a weird thing. I would be like, why does this girl have five different profiles? But, like, I just feel like Heather took it a little bit too far.
Heather, yeah, Heather was kind of a bitch. And it's sad because, like, if she opened up, like, that was not the time to open up, by the way. Like, I think she could open up that much and tell her story to Deb and Dave.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah, I don't think the whole group, and especially not on a, like you said, it wasn't a good timing. Like, she just found about Hawaii that day. Like, it's a lot going on. She has to see her mom. Like, it's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. So, yep, she, like, she runs, yeah, as she does. Our poor girl.
McClane.
We're leaving off on such a depressing note.
I hate it when we get to this part of every book and we have to, like, mm-hmm, wait to talk about things getting hopeful again. I'm like, no, it's going to be sad for a week. But yeah, this is where we leave you. No chaos this week, everyone. Sorry, but love waits for no man. My husband and I will be celebrating our wedding anniversary, and then we are off to go celebrate other people's love and attend a wedding this weekend. So my schedule does not permit chaos this week. Well, I mean, it always has time for chaos, but not the recorded kind. So thank you for bearing with us. But we'll be back next week with Destin Tuesday and Chaos Thursday. We actually have a lot of exciting ideas coming for chaos, which we will clue you all in very shortly. So get excited for that. Yeah, I think that's all I've got. Thank you for coming and hanging out with us and getting depressed by these chapters. And things will be on the up and up again soon because this is Destin. She always gives us a happy ending. So until then, take care of yourselves and we'll chat real soon.
Bye-bye.